Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Norm Inger, the e-government program director at the Office of Personnel Management. And joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo. Well, Norm, we can't talk about the employment lifecycle without discussing one of the most important parts of employment to the employees, that is, the receiving a paycheck, and it's current and consistent and timely. How does the e-payroll initiative help facilitate the government to do this in the most cost-effective manner?
Well, 2 years ago, when I took this position, to my great surprise, there were 26 agencies processing payroll for the 1.8 million civilian employees. I scratched my head saying, why are the 26 places paying these employees? The initiative essentially is to standardize and to consolidate civilian payroll processing. What we are doing is essentially we are consolidating civilian payroll processing from 26 down to basically two partnerships. We're collapsing from 26 down to two partnerships comprising four agencies and eventually down just to two centers, if you will, that process civilian payroll. In the process, we'll standardize payroll, but also, I might add, by shutting down these redundant operations, we'll save the government over a 10-year period $1.1 billion. So in effect, we also don't just achieve efficiency, but we also achieve significant cost savings by these initiatives. I might add that our partners here, the agencies that are in effect comprising the partnerships are Agriculture, Interior, Defense, and GSA.
Norm, can you describe the vision, goals, and benefits of the Enterprise Human Resources Integration Initiative? What is the AHRI's relationship to the other eGov initiatives?
Well, essentially, this initiative, EHRI, has several goals. Again, going back several years, I was quite surprised to realize that, from my point of view anyway, there really wasn't a very rich corporate database on the civilian workforce. One part of EHRI, one goal, is to build a corporate database or a warehouse of real accurate information about the 1.8 million people in the civilian workforce. Last September 2003, we actually brought up this new operation, this new website used by federal people. And what we have now is a richer and richer repository describing in more and more detail the skills, the abilities, et cetera, of the 1.8 million civilian people. This is used for all kinds of workforce analysis, planning. We can look in there and determine retirement rates. We can do studies of age, sex, ethnic backgrounds, et cetera. So what we've done here is establish a corporate warehouse. A second role of EHRI is to move away from paper personnel forms. We call it the EOPF, Electronic Official Personnel Folder. What we're doing is we're leading the government in terms of showing the government how to get away from those voluminous and bulky personnel folders and move toward an electronic personnel record for the employee. Eventually, when a person joins the government, there'll be an electronic record created for them, personnel record, and that will follow them through their federal career. So a second part of this is to, in effect, move toward a electronic personnel system. Now, to answer your question about its relationship, this initiative is defining all of the data elements that pertain to federal human resources and payroll. We have defined over 800 data elements that really comprise the standardization, if you will, of the information that is used in the federal personnel and payroll systems, and this also are the standards being followed by my other initiatives.
Norm, you've described the scenario where executive branch agencies may potentially invest in duplicative human resource information systems that perform core personnel transaction processing. For those of us who aren't HR professionals, could you describe what a core personnel transaction process is? And then I'm curious, with this consolidation, how you thought about, the effect standardization will have on the government and others involved in the HR area.
The core personnel transaction processing is really the processing that updates the employee personnel record, the actions that update that record. This is called in the federal government the SF-5052 processing. This initiative, the HRIS, essentially is now moving toward an enterprise view of the human resource line of business. Let me address it this way. we proved that the government could be transformed in a very short space of time. I think the original eGov initiatives, the 24, have shown that there can be rapid change in the federal government. You can implement solutions in a very short time frame. You can show tangible results, either dollar-wise or utilization. So in effect, this is really building upon the initial 24 and our five, I should say. And now we're saying, let's look not just at those five points, if you will, training, recruitment. Look at the entire business itself of human capital in the federal government. HRIS is really using something that OMB has really pioneered, called the Federal Enterprise Architecture. What that really says is that the OMB FEA is looking at the government as a business, just as you would look at a commercial private business. And what it's done, look at it across all of its operations, and then define lines of business, one being financial management, another one being human capital. And what we're doing is we're looking at the entire human capital line of business, what people do in the government relative to people and payroll. And what we're doing is we are, within that context, looking at all the operations, all the business functions there, and now we're looking to improve across the board where we can with better solutions and making the government more efficient and also to, in effect, improve how human capital operates in the federal sector.
Norm, you just talked about the business processes and how they go across the federal government. All of the eGov initiatives involve coordination of IT systems across the federal government also. How is OPM working with other federal agencies to accomplish the goals of the different eGov initiatives?
The agencies are right now all being signing agreements to use, wherever possible, the 24 original eGov initiatives. For example, we are on the steering committee and we're using e-authentication, another initiative. E-authentication essentially is used to credential or to identify who is on a terminal. That's fundamental to all of eGov because eGov depends on the internet, on web-based services. So, for example, in this one case, we're on the steering committee and we plan to use the initiative. The same thing goes with other initiatives. We're using USA Services, an eGov initiative, which provides help desk services to operations. So what's happening here is that all agencies, including OPM, wherever possible, are incorporating and using other eGov initiatives.
How much funding has been allocated to the eGov initiatives?
Well, the OPM funding in 2004, we received approximately $10.8 million in appropriation. We also have fee-for-service operations for e-training and recruitment one-stop. So in effect, we have a combination of appropriations and also we have fee-for-service operations.
What other critical success factors besides funding are needed to make these initiatives a success?
Well, when you have these initiatives, you obviously want agencies to shut down redundant systems and migrate to your initiative. Well, what happens here is you have to give tangible evidence that you have a solution. I think that that a critical success factor is not just to say, I've achieved success in e-training or USA Jobs or e-clearance, but you have to demonstrate and have a tangible kick the tires proof that you have a solution. So step one in terms of a critical factor is you've got to be able to demonstrate a viable, robust solution before people will shut down their old or redundant systems. Another very important factor here is agency participation in the initiative. It's very, very important that you outreach, that you work with agency partners, you go out and, in effect, you sell, you show what you've done and get buy-in from people that you're asking to migrate to the initiative. So I think these two things, one, really have a solution, not smoke, and also to go out and really build up coalitions of support so people will use and migrate to your solution.
We left the conversation about e-payroll and the human resource information systems. The one thing I meant to ask was, what's the timetable for their implementation?
Well, for example, e-payroll, we have a target of September 2004, this year, for many of the migrations to be finished. We have at this point all of the agencies lined up for migrations, and we will pretty much meet the target of September 2004 for migrations. Let me also add that in general, the plan of e-government is that by September 2004, the initiatives will graduate. And what that means, they'll be operational. They'll have achieved what the original goal was, is that from 2 years ago, the start, until September 2004, we have actually gone from concept to real operation. So the answer to you with ePayroll is our target is September 2004 to, in effect, have finished many, many of the migrations. The other one, HRIS, that you mentioned, this is really starting now. It's a newer initiative called the Line of Business Initiative. And, in fact, a task force for this is being formed as we speak. And I believe OMB and OPM will have an event on March 18th, this month, to announce the formation of this task force. And again, the task force and the initiative, they'll address enterprise solutions for the human capital line of business.
That's interesting. Sounds like 2004 will be a busy year. What's the future of e-government? We'll ask Norm Inger of OPM for his thoughts and perspectives when the Business of Government Hour returns.